Go ahead.
I could get everyone to grab a seat. Yeah, I'd like to call this Board of Supervisor meeting to order. The date is December 3rd, 2013. The time is 9:03 a.m. We always start with the Pledge of Allegiance, and today I'm going to ask the Walnut Elementary School, who are award winners today, to step up to the podium and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And then if you could remain standing, after we're done with the Pledge of Allegiance, we're going to have a moment of silence for Albert Beltrami, the former CAO, Chief Administrative Officer of Stanislaus County, from January 8, 1991 through January 8, 1993.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. And thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Today we're going to start off with a presentation, and you already got a little taste of the presentation, but it's Red Ribbon Week 2013 Best Decorated School Contest. And Sue Rich from the Stanislaus County Office of Education will be presenting, I think. Oh.
Good morning. My name is Charmaine Anderson, and I'm from the Stanislaus County Office of Education. Sue Rich will be coming up momentarily. This is Elizabeth Escalante. She also works with me at SCO. And we'd like to thank the Board of Supervisors for having us out today and for allowing us to present the awards. The students are very excited to be here. Here with us today is our Director of Prevention Programs, Vicki Bellman. So we'd like to recognize her. And this, thank you. The Assistant Superintendent, Sue Rich, she is here, so we'd like to call her up, please. And Scott Kuykendall, the Division Director of Educational Options. We'd like to call him up as well. Red Ribbon Week is a national awareness campaign highlighting the dangers of drug use. Stanislaus County schools participate annually with rallies, drug dogs, poetry contests, assemblies, and much, much more. This year, we have had over 25 schools participate in the Red Ribbon Best Decorated Spirited Schools Contest. Before we present the awards, we would like to extend a special thank you to Doris Clark, an event planning specialist at the Stanislaus County Office of Education. Without her hard work and attention to detail and very, very dedicated person that she is, this contest would not have taken place. So thank you very much, Doris. We appreciate it. We are here today to honor the winners of the contest and would like to thank the school sites who were able to attend. Thank you, everyone. Each school site will receive a winner's plaque, which we have a certificate from the Stanislaus County Office of Education, and they'll also receive a certificate from the Board of Supervisors. So thank you very much for that. All right, we will get started with our school sites.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started with our elementary section. There were three different levels, so we have the elementary, the junior high, and the high school. So we're going to start with the elementary, and we're going to start with our third place winner, and that would be Osborne Two-Way Immersion Academy. So I'm not sure if they're here yet. Okay, perfect. Congratulations. Okay, our second place winner is Von Renner Elementary School, and that's from Newman Crow Landing, California. Congratulations. Okay, and our first place winner, and just so you understand, the contest has become, in the last few years, extremely competitive, friendly competition, though. And these school sites that actually are here today, they have gone above and beyond. So they've done tremendous, tremendous work on their campus, and they, above all, have stood out a lot more. First place winner for elementary is Walnut Elementary School in Turlock. And I believe we have a short little speech.
Good morning, school board. Good morning, Board of Supervisors. My name is Dion Scaria, president of our student leadership team at Walnut Elementary. I would like to say that we are so grateful to be receiving this award and that we are honored to be representing our distinguished school. Thank you.
Congratulations, you guys. All right, now we would like to bring up our junior high and middle school division. So we're going to start with third place. We would like to bring up Roosevelt Junior High School. Congratulations. Second place in the middle school and junior high division is Hanshaw Middle School. Come on up.
Big smiles.
And first place in this category is Turlock Junior High School.
Everybody.
Okay, and our final category is our high school division, and we're going to start with Houston High School for third place. We will make sure that they receive it. Second place will be Waterford High School. Congratulations. And our first place winner for our high school division is Gregory High School. Thank you. Congratulations. Thank you so much for everybody for coming, and we are looking forward to next year and all the creative and awesome things that you're going to do on your campus. So thank you.
And I just wanted to add a word. Welcome, board members. I'm very proud of these girls. Taylor, come back up. My club last year at Gregory, I had about 25 students, and 23 of them graduated. And so this year, she's my only returnee besides one other student, and so I had a whole new club. And to be totally honest, I didn't know if they could pull this off. So I am very proud of them and the hard work that they put into this and the community members they invited and just the dedication that I've seen of a brand new club of kids that have never been in this.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much for your time.
And thank you to all of you guys. This is a great time. I love the little speech, and bless you to the little guy who just sneezed. But this is really good, really good for the community, and we do appreciate what you do, and we like to recognize good things that happen in our community. So thanks very much. Okay, we'll be moving on to public comment period. There's an opportunity for anyone to speak on anything that's not on today's posted agenda. I do not have any speaker cards. Actually, we're going to wait 1 second. Let's let these guys. Okay, so now is an opportunity to come up and speak on anything that's not on today's posted agenda. I have no speaker cards. Anyone else like to address this board? Please state your name for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, ladies and gentlemen. Emerson Drake, a longtime Modesto resident. You know, it always seems at a crossroads is always overused, so we're not going to go there today, but we have some very important issues that are facing us, not only here in the last month, but in the coming year. And I think one of the most important is land use, other than your budget. I know that's everybody's got a difficulty with that. But I think land use and the way what we decide to do with our land is just key, because there are so many people out there that truly don't speak for themselves. You know, it was heartening to see, well, it'll be on Wednesday, be even better, LAFCO stand up for one-to-one ag mitigation when it comes to prime farmland and building homes. I think that's extremely important. I know not everybody agrees, but I think it is. But what we're facing now is Modesto's general plan amendment, and it involves you closely. I mean, you're not involved in, but yet you are. Because they're looking at it, from my point of view, a land grab of 1,825 acres on west of 99. And the reason I said those that won't speak for themselves, I think, and I don't want to bring religion into it, but especially the German Baptists who don't vote, who seldom speak in public on these issues, but yet we're truly looking to affect their way of life. They've got a cemetery that's going to be right inside that industrial park. Many of their members live there now, farm there now. Their church, the new church, is just on the border of the industrial park. We have literally hundreds of citizens that are there. And what do we see this massive charge being led by, quite honestly? A couple of credential real estate salesmen. I mean, that's exactly what they are. There's two of them that are on there. And I'm not attacking real estate salesmen. But I think the 1,825 acres is an overreach. And then they're looking at Kernan. They want to go north of Kernan, Modesto does. You know, they tried to give our friends at Fitzpatrick and Woodland a buy not to mitigate, but LAFCO stood up to them. They gave Tivoli a buy, but that hasn't come to LAFCO yet. But now we're looking at the prime farmland, and they want to throw in a 125-acre park that they say will help recharge the aquifer. Well, in the middle of a business park, where are you going to get the water to put into this pond they want to build? I mean, it's a great idea, don't get me wrong. The idea that they're using now, where they've slimmed down the plan, they've stopped this massive overreach, it does look like it's a good plan for the entire county to look towards. I mean, Riverbank's sitting there looking right now, and I understand that's changing, but they want to. Their general plan was all the way over in McHenry. I mean, it's a massive overreach again. And they have to base their business fees on top of it. And if PLACO slapped Patterson's hands when they make this magic square on the map that says, well, we know the business fees are going to fall short, but this square is going to pay for it all. You know, we're offered pie in the sky all the time, and with the Modesto Chamber of Commerce, it's apple, rhubarb, cherry, strawberry. They just name it all. And we need people like yourselves to stand up, not only for the county, but for all the citizens of the county. You know, we said it, I believe at your last meeting, that if only all the county was governed as well, the cities were governed as well as this county board operates. And while obviously I don't always agree with the conclusions of this board, I find it to be filled with integrity. I truly do. And I think you are the standard that the city should have to live up to. So please, I know my time, please keep an eye on what's going on in Modesto. Somebody needs to speak for those German Baptists. Somebody needs to speak for the citizens, because we know the Williamson Act doesn't mean a whole lot. Modesto waves the magic wand, and the vast majority of the 80 acres that's going to go to Woodland that are in the Williamson Act, it just goes away. It just goes away. So please, continue to defend ag. It's important. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Emerson. Anyone else like to speak during public comment? Okay, seeing none. I wanted to acknowledge someone really quickly. David Gere is here. He's the former city council person, and he represented his district well. I know he just stepped down last week. Still showing up at our meetings. So thanks, Dave. Thanks, for serving your community so well. All right, now we're going to move on to the consent calendar. The consent calendars are all the items marked with an asterisk. Items A, 1 through 7, B, 1 through 4, C, 1, and E1. Would any supervisor like to pull any items? Anyone from the audience like to pull any items? Okay, seeing that, I'll take a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. Item A8. Approval to accept the clerk recorder certified statement of the results of the consolidated district election held Tuesday, November 5th, and declare the results. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning to the board. I'm Lee Lundergan, County Clerk Recorder, Registrar of Voters. And today I bring before you the statement of the vote for the election that we just held on November the 5th. That is a UDEL election, which is a unified district election. That means that the districts in Stanislaus County, the small districts, have their voices heard during this election. They don't have to have individuals in small districts run as candidates against the president or the governor. They get to run against people in their own communities, their voices be heard and be voted on by local people. So most of the voters in Stanislaus County had very short ballots. By short, I mean very few things on that ballot. But the items that were on the ballot, if you collected them all, there were over 91 different people who were candidates. There were 48 different districts that were heard and ran on that different those different ballots. And all of those new people are now getting sworn in over the next week or so. So congratulations to all of them. We're very happy to have been able to conduct those elections on their behalf. Just as an update, the statement of the vote is now up and on the website. If anyone would like to go to stanvote.com and look that up, they'll be able to see those. There were 208,535 people who could vote in this election. It was not countywide, so those are the individuals that had districts where items were going to election. 47,877 of them voted, which is a 22.96% turnout. This is the pretty much average turnout for this type of election for Stanislaus County. I know there's a lot of people, and I hear them all the time, saying this is a low turnout, and they're upset because of that. But what I want to bring to the attention of all of the individuals watching here today is that most of the people in our county register during a gubernatorial or a presidential election. When they register during those elections, they want to vote for what they see in a big media push. A radio, television, internet, all that media is coming at them, and they want to vote for those individuals. They are not registered, they do not register with the intent in mind of voting for local. So our goal, as the registrar of voters and as I'm sure the candidates, is to help them get that message out so more people will think it's important to vote for local elections. And they elect people that are all of the districts, our special districts, school districts, and a lot of our cities. So they're all very important. I do have a little bit of other information, and I just wanted to let you know that we do have two elections coming up in the next year, in 2014. We have a gubernatorial primary that will be on June 3rd, 2014, and the general election, which will be November 4th, 2014. I have this brand new candidate guide that just got printed yesterday, and we will be handing this out to people who are interested in being judicial candidates, and that we have a meeting held on their behalf on the 5th, which is this Thursday, from at noon, so that the judges can attend that, and anyone interested can also attend it. I wanted to thank my staff, because without them, this would not have happened. They are a real phenomenal group of people who pull together and do the most amazing things with a small group. And I specifically want to thank the leadership and the staffing that pulled the extra help and all of our 700 plus poll workers together. We call them election officers now, and but it's really wonderful that they all come together, and I want to thank those election officers for coming together. Are there any other questions that you might have today?
Yeah, on the statement of the vote, I didn't see. What was the absentee vote by mail versus at the poll of the two?
You know, you bring up a very good point, and I have that information with me. The vote by mail is something that people can do automatically now. They can sign up to be permanent, and there were 122,157 people of the full group that registered to be permanent vote by mail. Of that, 38,609 voted. That's a 31.61% of the vote was cast in that way, of the total people who have registered in that way. On the people who are voting at the polling sites, and I know that this board has made a comment and good points about that, 80,077 people are registered in this particular election to vote at the polls. 7,914 voted, which is less than 10%. It's 9.88% of the people who could have gone to the polls went to the polls. There's 12 polls in the single digits, meaning less than 10 people went to vote at that poll. Two polls with two voters, three polls with one voter each. Now, there are some abilities in the state through the legislature for various counties to vote on these off-year elections entirely by mail. I know Yolo County is one of them. It's a pilot program. So if there is an interest in this board, there is a method by which we can look into that and possibly vote only at the poll, or excuse me, only by mail, not at the polls during this type of election. Clearly, there's a large turnout during the gubernatorial and the presidential. But our county, in general, has up to 70% of all votes cast in the normal election by mail.
Have you talked with Yolo to see if there was any drop-off in the, versus historical norms since they went to vote by mail only in these off-year elections?
I didn't hear what you first said. Have I talked to him?
In Yolo.
Yolo.
Any of those folks, or have you, because I guess, you know, it's something to look into. I wouldn't, you know, I'm a guy that goes down to the polls, and I was just dismayed this time that I think I was the sixth person in my precinct, and it's a fairly popular precinct. And if there's a cost savings in these off-year elections, it's something I think we should at least explore. I don't know that we can do it. We still have to get something through the legislature, but it's something we should explore. And I'm just bringing that up for the full board's consideration. But when you see numbers, you said five polls, and you have three poll workers at a poll, I think, three or four.
And we have between four and five poll workers at each poll.
There were five of mine, but you end up with one person coming in to vote. It makes absolutely no sense. So either we consolidate polling spots, which makes it more difficult, or we go to vote by mail in these off-year elections. It makes a lot of sense. Seems to make a lot of sense.
We don't have the authority to consolidate the polls any more than we consolidate them. If you have a polling site, you have to have one polling site. It has to have one ballot type. So that's part of the issue with that. So individuals who would come into a poll, we want them to come in and vote only that ballot that's there and not get mixed up and vote a different ballot and all the confusion that could cause. It's already a difficulty to train people for 2.5 to 3 hours poll worker training and expect them to do all these magical things all day long on election day without any error. So we're already pushing the envelope, I think, on what we can expect our folks to be able to pull off out there.
Okay.
And they're just volunteers for the day, getting a stipend. So pretty amazing. We have a really good turnout.
Supervisor DeMartin.
I was the poll watcher again this year, and I found everything quite orderly and professionally done, as always. I always like to watch the votes counted, but always looking for something that may be questionable or something not done right. I've never found it yet. I think you've got it very well organized and do a good job in counting the votes.
Thank you very much. And on behalf of my staff, I thank you.
So you have must have a minimum number of registered voters that would have to qualify for a poll to be open.
250.
So that's of registered voters.
Correct. If there are fewer than 250 people at a polling site, then it is it's called an all-mail, M-A-I-L, election. And so and those people automatically will get a vote-by-mail ballot, a ballot in the mail.
You know, looking over your statement of the vote, I noticed there are registered voters in some precincts. There are 0, 1, 2. Just at a glance, you know, Caswell 1, there's no registered voters. Modesto 87.
That is an excellent point, and let me address that. Every 10 years, as we all know on this board, there is a census. And part of that census is redistricting. And part of that redistricting is drawing new lines. Unfortunately, there are so many different districts, cities, state, federal, and county lines that are drawn throughout each county in California. Specifically, let's talk about Stanislaus County. And they don't all sit in the same room drawing their lines together. So we do have what we consider to be, I would say, a pocket. And those pockets are areas in which, say, one line goes down McHenry. And the next line goes down to one street either side of McHenry. So you'll have a strip of people that when those two different districts come together and are on the same ballot, they would have to have their own special ballot. So we had several instances of that this time where there are small pockets of voters because of the way the lines are drawn by the districts. And I want you to ask any questions you might have on this subject, because I think it's rich in information. But one of the things that we find is that due to the fact that individuals are in these small pockets, it creates a cost, a ballot cost, and that is borne by whatever district is handling that election or asking us to conduct it. So this election that we just conducted, although it may have expense to it, it is not the Stanislaus County's expense. It's the expense of the districts that are being that are going to election, that we're holding it on their behalf. So we conduct an election on behalf of the districts. It's up to the districts to draw the lines. They're independent districts, and yet if they don't get together, their cost certainly goes up. One of the concerns we have in the future, there are several districts, school districts, five of them, that have now moved themselves into an even year election, which is the county's election, and can have a cost basis. So as that starts to happen, if they start to combine with the even year elections, we're going to see a higher expense for everyone in that election as well. So that would be something that we'd have to look at on the county's portion.
Yeah, but did I see one Modesto 170 has got one registered voter and that voter didn't show up to vote? You had to print a ballot for that.
That is correct. We had to print a ballot. A very expensive process. We didn't have to have a poll, no polling site, but we did have to have a ballot.
Yeah. Well, you had to roll.
In the event that one person did show up and vote. So.
They did a good job on counting the votes. Very
accurate
and professional and timely. So
we also counted the votes and held elections on behalf of three different counties, various districts, and I'll name them off. San Joaquin County's Oakdale Joint Unified School District, San Joaquin Valley's Valley Home Joint School District, Santa Clara's County Board of Education, and Merced's Turlock Irrigation District 5. All of those go over county lines. And when there are a small amount of voters, it's very common for one county to ask the other county to conduct on their behalf. So we conducted on behalf of those four counties. And you'll find those on in the statement of vote on pages 011 through 014. So that's right at the beginning of the statement of vote. And what's important about that, and the reason that we add it to our statement of vote, is obviously that person is elected over county lines, and you have to put the two numbers together to find out who actually wins. So that's basically an important aspect. But we did conduct those as well, and those are conducted by hand. So a ballot is mailed out. When they come back in, they are hand counted, and then you'll see the result in the statement of vote that is not with the numbers from the machine, but basically a typed page. So those are a little bit different, handled as well, and we do those too.
Supervisor Whitmer?
Just leave real quick. We talk about the cost, and I know how important that is, ways to try to save costs and these things, but it seems like the bigger picture is how do we facilitate better turnout, I guess, for these elections. And it seems like the vote by mail has a higher turnout, I guess, in essence. The people that are registered as vote by mail, are they, that's a question, I guess, are they participating more? Is there a higher turnout? The people that are registered vote by mail than the general population that aren't?
There is a higher turnout for the vote-by-mail in all elections that we hold now. I don't have the information with me, but I you know, have checked it in the past. And there was a point in time when it, you know, you hit that point of no return. Fewer people are ever going to vote at the polls than vote-by-mail. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that happened a few years back, and ever since that time, the number of people who are voting by mail just keeps increasing. The number of people voting at the poll keeps decreasing. So, yes, we definitely, in all elections we conduct, have more people voting at the vote-by-mail ability than at the poll ability.
Yeah, I just think that would be a reason to do it more than anything, is if we could get to where we were all vote-by-mail, just because more people are participating, and that's ultimately what we want, rather than these low turnouts that we end up with. So.
Well, everyone, 100% of all of our voters have the ability to vote by mail should they choose to. I think the people that actually go to the polls and vote are staunch poll voters. And we have some people that insist that they go to the polls and vote. So that would be something we would have to discuss and address, I think.
I'm always a hybrid. I get it by the I like to walk it in.
We do have a number of those. About 10,000 this last time we got mail dropped off at the polls. So, yes, there's a number of those.
You don't consider those people just lazy? They didn't get it in the mail?
I consider them both. They're not lazy, but both they want the time with the ballot at home, and then they want to make sure that we get it, which is, you know, commendable. We appreciate that getting into us.
I just want to get my sticker for my...
That's right.
Yeah, you know what? We'll put a sticker in each one, right?
Make it any more difficult than it is.
I think it's fair to say that you should continue to explore that just to see if there's a cost savings, if we think we can get more, and maybe that's something that you could look into for us.
I can guarantee you there's a cost savings because we currently run two elections side by side. We have one election that is at the polls, which requires 700 poll workers to 1,000, depending on the election. It requires us to have training for each of those individuals. And one of our managers is here today, Maria Rocha, who was conducting part of that training. And she can tell you it's seas of people come in and are trained regularly. They all have to take off work or whatever they're doing, 700 people to get that 2-3 hour training plus the election day training. So that's one. And on the other hand, we have people who are doing a vote by mail, and they're mailing out ballots, getting ballots back in, opening, flattening. They each must be put into the precinct, designated where they would have gone had they voted by going to the poll.
Because the bottom line will be how much money we save. Not if we're going to save money, but how much, and if we can get better voter turnout. I think those would be the key questions.
Good points.
Any other questions? Really? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
With that, any comments from the audience? All right. I will entertain a motion.
And I move to approve the report. Statement of the vote, I guess.
I will second that.
All right.
Thank you.
You guys have a great day.
You too. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Congratulations to all those candidates, winners and losers. Okay. Seeing no other business, we're moving on to correspondence.
Pittsford has received a copy of In School Plus On Track, Attorney General's 2013 report on California's elementary school truancy and absenteeism crisis, from Camilla D. Harris, the county's attorney general.
I'm going to refer to the district's attorney and the sheriff, and I also want to comment, if I could, really quick. Did you see Houston wasn't here today because they didn't want to lose any of their ADA?
That would have.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk to him about it. I'm sorry.
This board has received a notice from the San Joaquin Valley Unified Air Pollution Control District will hold a public hearing on December 19, 2013, regarding rules 4621 and 4622 concerning gasoline transfers.
Refer to the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received from the Modesto Irrigation District and the Turlock Irrigation District the Don Pedro Newsletter, Volume 3, regarding the relicensing of the Don Pedro Project.
Refer to the Agricultural Commissioner and see their weights and measures, and the Fish and Wildlife Committee and Public Works Department.
This board has received a notice and a notice of public scoping meetings, request for scoping comments on the preparation of an environmental impact statement and report for the San Luis transmission project that will go through Stanislaus County.
Refer to the Chief Executive Office and the Department of Planning and Community Development.
And this board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Supervisor DeMartini.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The Westside Healthcare Task Force has just concluded its art and essay contest. And we have the winner's list already completed, and the calendar has just been printed up. Now we'll be making the first trip to the Newman School Board tonight to present that award, and then as their meetings appear throughout the month, I'll be going to Patterson and Gustine, too, which is part of the task force.
Thank you very much. Supervisor Withrow.
Yeah, if I could, I brought this up once before, and I'm going to bring it up again here and see what we can. You know, this is regarding the courthouse, the new courthouse project. And I guess I'd like to ask if we could, if the board would agree to do this, that we maybe have staff send a letter to the AOC and possibly the State Public Works Board, which I think they have the ultimate say in this project, and maybe just asking for an update on the project to find out where it stands, what's going on, and maybe asking for a little more transparency so that we could, everybody could maybe see a little bit more about what's going on, where the project stands. You know, we are, as a county, heavily involved in this project ultimately, you know, and I just think that it would be nice to know more about what's going on and be a part of it. And so I'd like, if we could, have our staff request more information and update on the project and just more transparency on it.
Mr. Chairman, I'll echo those comments and just say the state seems to have a transparency problem with this process. And I don't want to get into the debate of which side is this side or that side. I just want to make sure the process is transparent. The public has the information. I mean, we, this board, has to work in a transparent process. The state of California needs to do the same. The letter we got recently with the reasons why one site was better than another site was pretty weak arguments, because I think there could be other arguments made, like where there's parking garages or downtown parking for the public, or where the district attorney's office is located, or other attorney offices that have to show up in court, restaurants, bail bondsmen, the list can go on and on. And so I don't want to get into the argument of this side, that side. I want to see a very transparent process, which the state has failed to do. And if the state AOC doesn't want to do it, then I would suggest that we get our legislators involved so we can get a transparent process.
Anyone have any problem sending a letter? Okay.
Mr. Staff, I'd be happy to prepare that letter on your behalf, but I'll send it out into my cover, or
okay.
You would rather have the board sign.
I think CEO would be fine.
Okay.
Happy to do that.
Any other comments from the board?
I would like to congratulate our new CEO, Mr. Risen.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Pleasure to be here. We can clap. Thank you.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, we have a closed session. Open up legislative fiscal management report.
No report. Thank you, though, for your appointment and your confidence. Yeah. Look forward to working with you.
We do have a closed session.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Upon adjournment, we'll adjourn to closed session to have conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D1, involving two cases. The first case is City of Modesto versus County of Stanislaus et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 683887. And the second case is Forensic Consultants Medical Group, Incorporated versus County of Stanislaus et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 626798. Additionally, there's conference with legal counsel to discuss significant exposure to litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D2. This involves multiple cases related to claims filed by the cities of Ceres, Houston, Oakdale, Newman, Patterson, Riverbank, Turlock, and Waterford concerning the calculation of property tax administration fee. We do not expect a report out on any of these matters.
Nothing else for the good of the order. This meeting is adjourned.